Jesus said in Matthew 6, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, as I said, we are going to kick off a new series today on what I just read from Matthew 6, what has been called for a long time, the Lord's Prayer. We're going to end this series on Good Friday. And so April 3rd, go ahead and mark your calendars. April 3rd, we will meet here at 6:30 p.m. We're meeting across our campuses that day at our respective campuses. So 6:30 p.m. on Good Friday, we will end this series. But we're going to walk through what Jesus taught here. He taught it in two different places in the Gospels. And the goal of this series, and we very creatively called it the Lord's Prayer, the goal of the series is not simply to study the content of the prayer, though we will do that, but to learn to pray. All right, let me say that again. The goal is not simply to study the words of the Lord's Prayer and the content, though we'll do that, but to learn to pray, and in so doing, grow in our relationship with the Lord. Prayer is one of the primary ways that we speak with the Lord and grow our relationship with Him, and ultimately to be shaped by Him. A couple of different phrases I've found helpful this week. One of our members, he and I were talking about it, and he said, you know, my goal in praying is that I practice prayer enough until it changes the posture of my heart. And we practice prayer enough that it changes the posture of our hearts. You might think about it this way. We don't want prayer just to be an activity. You want prayer to be a lifestyle, something that you're doing on a regular basis. Now, for some of us, we know this prayer by heart. It's something that we maybe have memorized or something we've heard many times, something maybe you pray on a regular basis. For others of us, I know that we've got a number of folks here who are new to the faith, new to church, new to Christianity, new to the scriptures. And this may be all new to you, the first time that you go through the Lord's Prayer. As I mentioned, it's recorded twice in the Gospels. In the four accounts that we have of Jesus' life, you see it in both Matthew and Luke. It seems likely that Jesus probably went over this multiple times with his disciples. In Luke's gospel, Luke records it in a time where the disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us to pray. John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Will you teach us to pray? And in response, he gives a shorter version of this prayer. Matthew records the slightly longer version, and it's the one that we'll be walking through in this series. And it's really important, or it's really interesting, and I think important, the context in which Matthew has Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer. This first point in your notes, if you want to follow along this morning, that the Lord's Prayer is at the very center of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the literary center, right in the dead middle of the Sermon on the Mount. You go, okay, well, for some of us, you know that. You say, what's the importance of that? Others, what is the Sermon on the Mount? The Sermon on the Mount is recorded in Matthew 5 through 7. It's a sermon that Jesus gave, and it's really, in some ways, his inaugural address as King Jesus. Jesus comes, and he starts proclaiming, John the Baptist before him says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus comes and says, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and he's the king. And the Sermon on the Mount is his sort of inaugural address of what does life in the kingdom of God look like? What are the values of this kingdom? If you're going to be a kingdom citizen, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, well, what are the values of this kingdom? And so Jesus walks through. He starts with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He goes through salt and light. You're supposed to be salt and light. We are to live in the culture in such a way that we shine the light of Christ into our culture. He talks about anger. He talks about lust. He talks about our hearts. He talks about marriage and the covenant that is marriage. He talks about retaliation and loving your enemies and praying for your enemies. He gets to this sort of secret life of the Christian where he talks about giving and praying and how we don't do those things to be shown by others. And then in the second half, he keeps going with the secret life. He talks about fasting. We do that in secret. We don't do it to be seen by others. He talks about laying up treasure in heaven and talks about generosity and greed. He talks about, is your your heart more for the Lord or is it more for money? You got to pick one or the other. He talks about not judging others. Then he goes to the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. Then finishes the sermon by talking about building your house on the rock. He says, if you hear my words and don't do them, it's like you're building your house on the sand. But those who hear my words and do them, you're building your house on a firm foundation on the rock. And that house is going to stand when the wind and the waves come. I mean, it's a heck of a sermon. It's all one. And right in the middle of it, right in the middle, is his teaching on prayer. Which I think tells us prayer is really important to the Christian life. It's important in shaping our hearts to align with King Jesus. In fact, let's go there. Matthew 6, verse 5 is the beginning of his what he talks about on prayer. He says this, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward in full. Jesus is talking about some of the religious folks in his day who prayer was a show for them. They would go out to the street corners. They would lift their hands. They would say their prayers out loud. And the whole goal was, I'd like others to see me and see what I'm doing. And then say, you know, how spiritual. Look at that person. I know for us, you go, wow, good thing we would never do that. For us, and listen, posting what you do on social media is not always bad. But we have to be careful. We've just grown up. We've become so accustomed to doing something and taking a picture of ourselves while we do it so that the world can watch. We have to be careful in these moments. I think our version of this is like, hey, here's my Bible. Here's my time, right? Here's my prayer time. Great devotion this morning. And it's like, man, you just have to check your heart on that. Are you doing that? You're like, I want other people to be in their Bible this morning. Great. But if something inside of you is going, I really want other people to just see me right now with the Bible out and the coffee cup and it's got the writing on the coffee cup. And it's like, it's just so great. Like, what a moment. And if your desire is, I kind of want people to see me and go, gosh, I wish I were more like that. This is what Jesus is talking about. Verse 6, he says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, maybe turn off the phone, and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What's he talking about? One of our pastors said it this way. It was so good. He said, listen, prayer is not about impressing others, and prayer is not a competition. Prayer is not about impressing others. Prayer is not a competition. Maybe have you ever been in a group setting and somebody prays and you're like, they're just such a better prayer than I am. I wish I could pray that way. Honestly, so I had this experience. I talk a lot. I pray. And we were serving this week in our life group and I got a chance. This guy was praying. He's just doing a phenomenal job. Serves week in and week out. And then I took a turn to pray. And I think he kind of knew like, oh, that guy's a pastor. And his response was like, well, you're better at that than I am. Honestly, I think it grieves the Lord's heart when we hear someone pray and go, gosh, they're just such a better prayer than I am. That would be like me listening to one of my kids. If one of my children weren't talking to me and I went to them and said, hey, I don't hear you talking a lot to me. What's the deal? And they said, well, I'm just not as good a talker as my brother or sister is. My heart, like, I would be sad about that. My heart would be broken because it's like, I don't care whether you're a good talker or not. I don't care if you fumble over your words. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your heart. And I think sometimes maybe the Lord's heart towards us when we don't talk is like, well, I'm just not good at this. It's not about being good. It's not a competition. It's not about impressing others. It's about your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And you expressing your heart to him. And as we're gonna see, there are ways in which Jesus tells us, hey, let this shape your prayer life. But it's not about flowery language and impressive language and you doing it in a way that like, well, now you're a good prayer. It's not about impressing others. It's not about competition. It's about spending time with God and then being shaped by him. And Jesus goes on in verse 7, and he says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. And when he's talking about Gentiles there in their context, he's talking about at that time, people who don't have a relationship with God. People who are worshiping pagan gods, and he says, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So many people in ancient cultures would have some incantations, phrases, things they would repeat. Maybe they'd hum it, maybe they'd chant it. They'd go over and over. And the idea was, man, if we say the right words and the right phrases, then we're kind of like manipulating the gods in a sense. Like we pulled the right levers and now the gods have to do what we want to do. And Jesus is like, don't do that. Why? He said, verse 8, he says, do not be like them. Don't. For your heavenly Father, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. It's not about getting the language right. Like if I pull the right lever, then God has to dispense this to me. He says, your Father already knows what you need. Just speak with him. Which then I think raises the question, I would imagine, well, then why pray at all? If God already knows what I need, why bother? And I would say, I mean, there's so much that could be said there, but I'll go back to the parent-child relationship because he loves to hear from us. I know what my kids need oftentimes, but I still enjoy the fact that they come. Morgan and I enjoy that they come and ask us. We delight to give them good things, particularly when we've slept well and are being patient, right? There are times where, but the good news is the Heavenly Father's not like us. He's infinitely patient and he delights to give us good things and to hear from us. Also, prayer is one of the means through which God works. Now, I don't have all the answers here on, well, why doesn't God just do it? What I know is that the scriptures seem to indicate and say when we pray, God often responds, not always the ways that we want. It's not always the answers we want, but he responds to our prayers and works in the world through our prayers. And not only does he work around us, but this is what we're going to talk about for a fair bit of the rest of our time. God's doing something in us through praying to him. As we go through the first part of the Lord's Prayer, as we pray to him and we pray like this, God is doing stuff in our hearts, shaping our hearts and aligning our hearts more with his. In fact, one of our student team leaders wrote something for student weekend. So student weekend, middle school, high school team, or high school students. I hope you guys are all at student weekend. Next weekend, we're going through prayer and the Lord's Prayer. And our student team wrote this, and I was reading it this week, and I was like, man, this is so good and so applicable for all of us. They said, many of our students see prayer as just asking God for things. And I paused and I wrote, no, not just students, us. Many of us see prayer as just asking God for things, but that misses the heart of what Jesus modeled. When Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, he demonstrated that prayer isn't about convincing God to do what we want, it's about helping us learn what he wants. That doesn't mean we shouldn't bring our requests to him, but it does mean that as we pray, God shapes our desires to line up with his. Are you tracking with me? That as we pray, it's not just convincing God to do what we want. It's us actually learning, Lord, what do you want? And aligning our hearts with his. When we start to pray this way, prayer stops being a wish list and becomes a way for us to know God more and for him to shape us from the inside out. So that's why I put the next point here in your notes. The Lord's Prayer. As we start this series, right, the Lord's Prayer is a model for prayer that helps grow kingdom values in us. When you think about the Lord's Prayer, so here's, let me break that down. It's a model, not a box, okay? It's not about putting you in a box and saying, this is the only way you can pray. Just recite the words and nothing else. Jesus prayed in other ways. We have multiple prayers from Jesus. We have multiple prayers from the Apostle Paul, right? They prayed in other ways. You're allowed to pray in other ways. Your Father delights to hear from you. But it is a model. It's a guide for prayer. I mean, there are just sometimes you sit down, Lord, I don't know what to pray. Like, Jesus, pray this way. And as you pray, let this guide shape your prayer life. And the Lord's Prayer is going to challenge us in some ways because it's not all about us. It's about him and what he wants. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's a model for prayer that helps shape us and grow kingdom values in us. You start going through it and you're like, our Father, we're going to talk about this morning, right? Our Father in heaven. Well, what does that mean? And your kingdom come and your will be done. Why are we praying that? Why are we praying for forgiveness? Not just give us this day our daily bread, but also forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's because it's really important and it's at the heart of what God is doing in your life and in mine. And so we're going to walk through those things. The point here is, as we think about the Lord's Prayer and you go, how do I use it? And practically, how do I use it? Am I just supposed to memorize it and then recite it? Listen, should you memorize it? Yeah, I think you should. Should you pray it regularly? Yes, I think you should. But the point is not to just like wake up, say it, and I don't think about it. I was talking with one of our members this week. He said, KLR Church, every Sunday growing up, he said, I was 12 years old. I really wasn't even a believer. And he said, I just remember going to church and it was part of the liturgy. And I'd look around and we would basically like hum it or chant it. And he said, everyone kind of glazed over and go, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he said, as a 12-year-old, he said, I remember looking around going, is this what God likes? Is this what God is into? Is people seemingly just mindlessly, right? The point is not to simply just recite it, not think about it, move on with your day. The point is to use it as a model, as a guide, to pray it and really think about, Lord, what does this mean and how is this shaping my heart as I pray to you about the things you tell me to pray for and to pray about. Sometimes I will pray it and we're going to kind of model this here in a moment, but I almost treat each line, and I didn't learn this. This is Christians throughout the centuries who have said this, that every single line is almost like a springboard into a whole area, a whole pool of prayer. You pray Our Father in heaven, you take time to pray. Okay, what does that mean? Well, your kingdom come, your will be done. You dive off that diving board and you stay in that pool for what does that mean and pray about that. You may not get past that line, that's okay. But it shapes us as we pray it. In fact, let's go to the first section. We're not gonna get super far, but Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven. And that's all we're going to hit for the rest of our time. Our Father in heaven. Next week, we'll get into hallowed be your name. Here's the next point. The Lord's Prayer. We're going to start with just the word our. The Lord's Prayer reminds us that our faith, it's an us thing, not a me thing, not just a me thing. Okay? When you say our Father, Jesus says, pray then like this. You go, okay, our Father in heaven. Just the fact that Jesus comes and says, pray our Father. Sometimes I hear people say things like this. At the end of the day, it's just me and Jesus. And listen, I'm not saying that's entirely wrong. I think I understand what people are saying. I remember talking with a guy here, walking through the process of grief, and he would say, listen, I have so many people around me and my community around me, but at the end of the day at 3 a.m. when I'm hurting, only the Holy Spirit is there with me at every moment. Absolutely true. And at the same time, as Americans, we tend to get real individualistic about our faith, and it's not that we don't have a personal faith. Jesus just said, go in your room and pray in private. That's good. But there's also a consistent emphasis from Jesus and in the whole New Testament about, guys, our faith is something we live together. And so Jesus doesn't say, come and say, my Father, right? Give me my needs. Our Father in heaven, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Our faith is something to be lived in community with other brothers and sisters. And I'm telling you, if you want to change, maybe if you want some change in the way you pray, think about this. Every time you bow your head and you pray to your Father in heaven, you are joining more than 2 billion brothers and sisters around the world right now who claim faith in Christ, and billions more throughout the centuries. There is a multi-billion, multi-ethnic family of God coming to him, and every time you pray, you're joining with your brothers and sisters saying, Our Father, there's some things we need, and we're praying your kingdom come and your will be done. You think about that instead of just me and Jesus, it might just change. That knowledge, that reality might just change the way that we pray. It's also a reminder that we should pray together. It is entirely appropriate and good. You should have your own alone personal prayer time. But we pray together on Sundays. We should pray together in life groups. If you're married, you should pray with your spouse. If you have children, you should pray with your children and in front of your children and model for them what this looks like. Some of the most important, powerful times of prayer in my life have come with other believers. Our Father in heaven. Now, let's talk about Father in heaven. And how is this shaping us to think about as we pray, Our Father in heaven? How does this shape us kingdom values in us and think about God It's really genius, to be honest, because, you know, Jesus is a genius. He's God. In this simple phrase, Jesus is encouraging us, hey, as we pray, you are holding two things about God and your relationship to him in tension. Father in heaven. What we're holding together here is on the one hand, you have an incredibly personal, we have an incredibly personal relationship with God. He is personal. He's our Father. And at the same time, he's in heaven. He's majestic and he's powerful and he's sovereign over all the earth. And we're holding those two things together. Let's talk about the personal side of it first. Our Father. It really is quite incredible. It's not that the Jewish people never thought of God as Father. You look through the Old Testament, there are multiple references in the Old Testament to God being a father to Israel. But first century Judaism, the dominant thought wasn't like, oh yeah, God, let's just talk about him as Father all the time. They took very seriously one of the commandments, right? Do not take the Lord's name in vain. So they actually got to the point where they wouldn't even write out God's name in full. They would short form it so that they didn't even come near using the Lord's name. I mean, there was a sense of raw, you know, reverence and awe, and that's good. But then Jesus comes along and he's just calling God Father all the time. And you're like, well, of course, you know, Jesus is the Son. He's like, my Father's always at work. My Father, I thank you for this. Father, I thank you for this. And we might go, well, yeah, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. What's incredible is Jesus looks at his disciples and they say, teach us to pray. And he's like, I want you to refer to him just like I do. I want you to think, I want you to talk to God just like I do. You've got a relationship. You're in Christ. And so he says, I want you to pray. When you pray, Abba, Father, Heavenly Dad, I want you to recognize the relationship you have with him. The Lord's Prayer, if I can say it this way, the Lord's Prayer just reminds us that God is our Father and we are his children. The Lord's Prayer reminds us God is our Father, we are his children, and that's shaping us to think that way. Kingdom values is remembering, right? God is not just this like distant deity. You need to think about this, okay? Derek talked about this last week from Romans 8, when he said, listen, we've not been given a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. We've been given a spirit of adoption. One of our pastors said it this way so well. He said, our entire prayer is based out of our adoption. We get to talk to God because when we trusted Jesus, if you're here and you've trusted Jesus with your life, you've not just been forgiven of your sin because of what Jesus did at the cross, you've been adopted into the family of God. God has looked at you and said, I no longer see someone who's separated, I see someone who's been forgiven and redeemed, and I see a son or daughter. That's the basis of your prayer life. You're coming to him and you're like, I get to talk to God as Father. I have a heavenly Father who loves me. And so when you come to God, remember you're not just speaking to a distant deity somewhere. The big man upstairs, he's somewhere up there. And maybe he likes me, maybe he doesn't. You're talking to a Father who loves you, who sent his Son for you, and who's brought you into his family. That might just change the way that you pray. To come to him and say, man, my Father loves me. He delights to hear from me. Psalm 116 says he leans down and he inclines his ear to me. Like a loving father stoops down to listen to his children. My youngest is 4 right now and she's got this little voice, right? And like, Morgan and I love to lean down and just listen to her talk. We love to hear our kids talk and to lean down and incline our ear to them. That's the way God loves to hear from you. Do you think that way when you pray? Like, do you pray and are you like, I don't know, I'm just lobbing something up there and hoping it sticks? Or are you like, no, I have a heavenly Father who I believe inclines his ear to me. And he loves me. And no, he doesn't always give me everything I want, but he gives me what I truly need, and everything he does is good in my life for my eternal, ultimate good. Do you see God as your heavenly Father? Do you talk to them that way? It might just change the way that you pray. And then finally, he says, our Father in heaven. So on the one hand, this is where the tension comes into play. And it's such a good tension. It's, man, he's my Father. He's your Father. If you're in Christ, you've got a Heavenly Father who loves you. It's deeply personal. And at the same time, remember the God that we're talking to. He's the God of heaven. He's not a vending machine that we manipulate and pull the slot and he has to dispense something to us. He's not just our buddy. He is sovereign over history and over all the earth. He's the God of heaven and earth. And when it's in heaven, that's not primarily about his location. It's about his power, his majesty, his sovereignty, who he is. And so as we come to God, we're holding together. Man, he's the God of all the universe. And yet he's also my Father. You say, why is that important? One, again, we're praying. As we pray this way, it's shaping kingdom values in us. We want to think about God rightly. He's the God in heaven. He's God. He is God. And at the same time, in heaven actually reinforces the beauty of getting to call him Father. You might think about it this way. I was thinking about illustrations this week, and forgive me, it's an imperfect illustration, but imagine with me that you get invited to go to dinner with some friends, and there's some new folks at the table, and you're getting to know one of those new folks, and you know, you're sitting down talking with them, and all of a sudden, in walks this crazy famous person. And not like Christian famous, like famous famous, right? Tens of millions of followers, and they've got an entourage with them. And I get it. You're like, why are you at this restaurant with them? I don't know. It's my illustration, right? Leave me alone. And so they come in, right? And they've got like bodyguards. And you're sitting there going like, if I tried to get up and go say hi, like I'd get tackled. And as you're talking, as you're walking, this happened. The person next to you that you've just been getting to know, they're like, oh yeah, that's my dad. What just happened in that? You look at them and you're like, what? And what are you processing through as you think about this? You're going, you mean you could go, like you could text them right now and they would answer? You could go up there to them right now and you wouldn't get tackled? What do you mean that's your dad? You could go give them a hug and you have direct access to that guy? Do you see what's happening? The more wealthy, the more important, the more powerful someone is, from our perspective, the more inaccessible they seem. And the more incredible it is to us that someone would have direct access to them and relationship with them. Do you see what I'm getting at? I mean, Jesus looks at you and me and he says, that's us. Christian, do you realize, brother, sister, the privileged position that you have? You got someone way more important than whoever that is. He's in heaven. The God of heaven and earth who created you and me and everything that we see and the billions and billions of stars, the galaxies. That God is our Father and we have direct access to him. Every time we bow our heads, we're in his presence. Because of what Jesus has done, we can go straight to him and we have access to him as Father. Holding those two things together, again, might just change the way that you pray, that you bow your head and you say, Lord, you're the God of heaven and earth. You created everything. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts higher than my thoughts. I don't deserve anything from you. And yet, I get to call you Father. Thank you. Here's what I want to do. I want to close by just challenging you with something. We've said, right, as we go through the series, obviously, we've got a lot more to cover in the series. Okay? Well, next week, we're going to get into Hallowed Be Your Name. And again, I think this is going to challenge us some because, let's just be honest, when we typically start in prayer, what do we start with? Dear God. And then it's here, I got a lot of things I need to ask for. And I think we'll be challenged that the first petition in the Lord's Prayer and the first three petitions in the Lord's Prayer are not about us. It's about God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Only then do we get to, okay, give us this day our daily bread. And so I think that even just the shape of the prayer and what's put first challenges us to say, hey, we're to be aligning our hearts to the Lord's heart and to his desires, and to his kingdom. So we'll walk through that together. But starting today, I just want to challenge you by way of application. Will you set aside time starting today and every day to pray? Set aside some time to start the conversation with God if you're not already doing this, and to keep the conversation going.
And I would challenge you to attach it. If you're like, I don't know where to start with this. Okay, attach it to something that you already do every day. Maybe you're here and you're like, I have a daily time where I read the word. Okay, take time to pray at the end of that or before that or before and after that. Maybe you don't have that time. I would encourage you, start that time. Do these things together. But maybe it's, hey, the only thing I do every day is, you know, I shower every day. Okay, right after you shower, while you shower. Like, sit down and take time to pray. Maybe it's eating breakfast. Maybe it's lunch. Maybe it's dinner. Maybe it's working out. Maybe it's before you go to bed each night. You're like, I go to bed every night. That's something I do every day. Then, okay, before you go to bed, take time and pray. Make this a discipline, a habit in your life. And you go, well, where do I start? What do I pray? Well, here's the great thing. Jesus didn't say, I don't know, make it up. Jesus said what? Pray like this. Use it as a model, as a guide, and start. Maybe this week you don't even get past our Father in heaven. Maybe you start this week and just daily you're going, Lord, forgive me. It's been too long. And I've forgotten somewhere along the way that you're my Father. I've forgotten that you're in heaven. I've forgotten who you are and who I am because of who you are and who I am in you. And I just need to be reminded of that. God, will you help me as I spend time in prayer? Will you just make this real to me? You're my Father. You're in heaven. You love me. How incredible that I get to talk to you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for access to you. Maybe you don't get past that this week, and it's just every day being reminded of that. Lord, teach us to pray, our Father in heaven. So here's what I want to do. I want to give us a moment to put this into practice right now. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to pray. And for some of us, it's just, Lord, thank you. I need to be reminded of these things. For some of us, maybe this is the first time. Maybe this will be the first time for you of saying, man, God, you're my Father. I have a relationship because of Jesus. Let's take time and let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for who you are. God, thank you for your power, your majesty, your sovereignty. And God, thank you that we have a personal relationship with you because of Jesus. And Lord, will you help us to remember that on a daily basis? We have the privilege of speaking to the God of the universe. And amazingly, in ways that we can't fully understand or appreciate, you incline your ear to us. You're a Father who delights in us as your children. Forgive us when we forget that and we try to shape our identity in anything other than just being your sons and daughters. I want to give you a moment just to pray. Why don't you speak to the Lord? Father, we love you. For those of us who this is has been a long walk with you over the course of our lives, will you just remind us this week and reinvigorate us this week? And through this series, God, will you teach us to pray? And Father, for those that this is new and are for the first time calling you Father, thank you, God, that you continue to save and you continue to shape people into the image of Christ and adopt people into your family. God, we love you. And we pray as brothers and sisters, collectively as the church, and all God's people said, amen.